Today again, we're glad to have this opportunity of coming into your family circle with a program of Bible truth. Before we get into this final lesson under the caption of willing worship, let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. Would you join us if you care to do so and can? Let us pray. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we come into thy glorified presence upon this day, grateful that you have spared our lives throughout the past week, and we now have an opportunity to meditate, to think upon thy word, and to realize how wonderful it can be to apply this life and this word to our life that will help us to serve thee. We pray for the sick, and we pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones. And our prayer goes out for the leaders, the kings, the governors, whatever position they might occupy in authority in the nations of this world. May these men be wise enough to realize that the entrance of thy word will give light to their government, will give light to their own life, and it will help them not alone to be at peace with God, but also to be at peace with their fellow man. We're glad for the brethren who make this broadcast possible, and we trust as the gospel is sounded forth into the homes, and we trust into the hearts of many who listen, that it may benefit them. Those who are away from the Lord, may they be willing to hear the word, to believe it, to repent of their sins, to confess their faith in Christ, that they believe that he is the Son of God, and to be immersed into Christ, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We understand, Father, this to be thy teaching. It is the way that leads to eternal life, for it is the way that you have ordained in your mighty word. Help us now in this proclamation today. This is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. When we began this series of broadcasts, Willing Worship, some weeks ago, we went to the 12th chapter of Romans, and we read the first verse. I'm going to read the first two verses on the broadcast today. Paul says, by inspiration, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we talk about the scope of worship, we find it very clearly depicted here in these two verses. He talks about a reasonable service in verse 1, and as we mentioned to you weeks ago, that truly is a spiritual worship, for the word reasonable here refers to the product, or we might say the ability, of man to reason or to think. The Lord doesn't ask us to do anything we can't do. Well, we believe this scripture is dealing with reasonable from a little bit different standpoint, the thinking process of man. Now, if we're going to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that's really all that we have in this life. The body, which, of course, is that which contains the spirit. It's associated with the soul. And when we understand man was formed out of the dust of the ground, it was God who breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then man became a living soul. So when you see a person walking around, you realize that that person has a soul. He truly has a spirit, and he has a body. And when these are all combined, we have the evidence of life. Now, he presents that body, that life, as a living sacrifice before the Lord. So you see, as we talk about the scope of worship, we can't leave this subject of worship within a church building and say, now, that's where I worship God. Well, you should worship God when you go there. But how about in the mainstream of life? How about in the marketplace of life? Some people call it the asphalt jungle. How about in that circumstance? How are you going to present your life then? When Paul said to present your bodies a living sacrifice, I believe he was talking about, in the main here, the very things that we do in our life daily. Not that which we alone do on Lord's Day, but the things we do in our life. And as a good brother told me not too long ago, he said, you know, I think it's important to worship the Lord according to his will in the church building. But we can't just leave it there. We've got to take it with us every day in our life. I believe one of the glaring shortcomings, we might say, that would be found in the life of people who profess to be Christians sometime is simply the fact that they may sing maybe as loud as anyone in the church building. They may be able to pray fervently. They may be able to make comments. They may be able to be a very good person while they're in that church building. And this is a good thing. We're glad for that. But when they walk out of that building and go back into the mainstream of life, there's a complete metamorphosis that seems to have set in. They're altogether a different person. So this so-called Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde situation is not a good thing. It truly is not that which would indicate that we're presenting our body as a living sacrifice that would be holy and acceptable in His sight. Now, someone might say as we're talking about this, well, preacher, you're really hitting the nail on the head today, because I believe this for a long time. I believe that we can worship God in the church building, but I believe we've got to take it into our everyday Christian living. Now, some people kind of use this as a cloak. They find people who don't live the way they should outside of the assembly, and they say, well, I believe it'd be much better for me to be living right outside the assembly than to be there. You know, there's fallacy in that reasoning. Because if you have sense enough, and I have sense enough, to know how to live with our fellow man, we ought to know how to live with God. We ought to know how to get along with God. In other words, if we use the principles of the teaching that God has given in our everyday Christian living, we're going to be what God wants us to be there. But it also indicates to us that we should have enough mentality and enough common sense to know that God also knows that we know that we have an obligation in the church building. We have an obligation in the worship. Upon the first day of the week, as a Christian, to break bread, to give, to sing, to pray, and to exhort, to use the ability, the talent we have in that place, as well as in our daily Christian living. I've told a number of you about the man out in Kansas that I went to visit who I'd heard that had sustained a very serious accident. He turned a tractor over on him, and he was drenched with gasoline. If there had been any type of a spark, this man would have gone up as a human torch. And after that happened, you know, he got quite thought-provoking, I believe, about his soul. And he and his wife listened to one of the radio broadcasts that we had in that area, and they came to service, and he related his experience to me. And I remembered reading about that in the newspaper. And that man was very faithful to come to the service for a number of weeks. And then we find he didn't come. His wife came for a while. She said he was busy. And naturally, we went out to visit the family and enjoyed talking to their children, and he was working on the tractor. And I suppose I made two or three calls out there, and one day he simply told me, he said, well, preacher, I'm going to tell you why I haven't come back to service. He said, now, nothing's wrong with the congregation. He said, they're good people. He said, I thought it was a real good service, but you know, he said, I've got a problem. He said, I thought about the situation, and I thought it was a lot better for me to be on this tractor working while service was going on and thinking about being at church than to be in the assembly and thinking about being on the tractor. Well, I'd never had anyone hit me with one like that before. But when I recovered from this, I just simply said, well, there's one thing I want you to think about, that this very tractor that you're on now was the same type of vehicle that turned over and pinned you, and you were drenched with gasoline. Any type of spark would have made you a human torch. You know, you were able to come through that, and I believe that God certainly gave you an opportunity, not alone to ride that tractor, but He gave you an opportunity to be in His house. Well, I didn't really get over to the individual. There was something probably that he thought about. I have firm conviction that that man will truly want to come back to the Lord. He'll want to go farther than he did. He really never was born again. He really never obeyed the gospel from his heart. He was just pondering it. And I trust that he's still pondering it today. You know, when you begin to talk about the scope of worship, it goes into every activity of life. Our lives should be acceptable to God as we walk before Him, as we serve God and serve our fellow man in our daily Christian living. One of the great themes of the Bible is this two-pronged approach to the worship as we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. The idea of presenting all that we have in harmony with God's will in His house when it is time to worship Him there. And then going forth into the mainstream of life, as we call it, and letting our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. You see, this is something that really makes our Christian life a living memorial. And as a good brother told me in Pennsylvania many years ago, he said, I want my life every day to come up before God as a sacrifice, as a worship, as a sweet-smelling savor. And he was the brother that cited a reference back in Amos
the minor prophet in the Old Testament, he said the trouble with God's people back there is that they wanted to worship God, but they wanted to do it in a manner that was acceptable to him. They wanted to live their own course. They wanted to run in and put a sacrifice on the altar, so to speak, and then rush back to their own kind of living. Sometimes people say, well, I'm going to live my own life because I only have one life to live. Maybe you heard the commercial that said we only go around once. Well, you know, the reasoning of that is probably taken very, well, we might say, as a pleasant something to the ears of many people. But isn't it a factor that since we only live once, since we only have an opportunity to go this way once, it ought to be the best we possibly can? Now, I'm sure you'll admit with me that you don't have the answer to every question. You don't have the solution to every problem. But may I assure you that God does. The point we want to leave with you at the close of this series on willing worship is that every day of your life, from the time you get up in the morning until you go to sleep at night, is a life in which your life can be a sacrifice, a worship to Almighty God. Oh, someone said, I'll make too many mistakes. The Lord knows that you'll make mistakes. He has a built-in provision for the Christian to repent and pray that his sins might be forgiven. If you're not a Christian, why not let your life be a worship before God that will be acceptable in his sight? You can't do it as long as you keep saying no to him. Hear the word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ that you believe he is the Son of God, and follow that with baptism, immersion in water, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. It's been good to be with you. I want to thank the brethren for making this broadcast possible, this series. We hope to be back with you again, taking once again our Bible and offering it, thus saith the Lord. Be in the house of the Lord. Listen for time of services. Tell a friend and neighbor about this broadcast, and may God bless us as we obey that marvelous and that wonderful truth.